Luke 7:18. Verse 7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, you, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. This is probably the clearest definition of humility in the Bible. It's the understanding that we have absolutely no rights. And this one will cut you to pieces. The word servant is the word doulos again. It's the bond servant. Each of the apostles called themselves a servant before they called themselves anything else. They called themselves that bond servant. Yeah. Remember in the congregation or the synagogue, whoever was the rabbi or spoke from the lowest seat, as did they in the first century. The idea of a pulpit rising above the people it comes from the Roman word for actor or stage. And that's what preachers have become, as actors on a stage. But let's look at this doulos. Let's start in Matthew 20. Well, this is interesting. This is when the two sons, well, let's just start. In verse 20, Matthew 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Excuse me, but to sit in my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. of my father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. But Jesus called unto him and saith, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are the great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed them. Now, this isn't done with any consciousness. You don't just decide you're going to be a servant. That would be will worship. And it would never last. It would always have some outburst. But the idea that each one of us is the servant to the other is not in our mind to do. We constantly exercise our rights. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Direct link between exercising your rights and using your mind.
All right, let's go to Matthew 24. Verse 45, we'll be 45 through the end. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them food meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another whole idea of this total servanthood. Let's go to John 15. Starting verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Means hate, abhor, despise. Okay? The only reason the world doesn't hate you or Christians is because the Christians have become part of the world. This is, I mean, it's If you esteem the same things that the world esteems, you know that's a tell in the cosmic poker game that you something is wrong in your life. If the world either loves you or ignores you, you know that something is wrong in your life. Why? Because it's clear. It says, if you're my disciple, you'll be hated of the world. Because if you're his disciple, you'll be a threat to every form of thought on the face of the world at any time, on the face of the earth. There's a, in most men, I say most because I've known a few that weren't like that, one of their basic operating systems is conflict avoidance. They may have two or three people that they have conflict with, but mostly it's conflict avoidance. Now in the body, in the Seder, there should be love unfeigned. But there's no possibility, if you're his true disciple, that you won't be hated by the world. Does anybody believe that? Or is that just a matter of preaching or proselytizing.
Or it was very evident that anything in the world I rebuked, I would be hated, I'm sure. Or I would be ostracized at the least.
Well, the only thing that every disciple is asked to do is to show forth in your life and words the emptiness and futility of human effort, humankind. Now, if you do that, that's where they hate you. Because you, in essence, are making fun of that which they think is important. That which is based, the entire life is based on the idolatry of these important things. If you remember, let's go to Isaiah 40. And again, you got to hear me. This isn't a should. This is a what if, what happens. I'm starting verse 6. The voice said, cry. speak out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass, or flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's not talking about the Bible. The word of our God is Jesus Christ. Now, remember that the law that the Roman Empire used to justify killing Christians in just about any way possible was a law. And it said that it was because the Christians, or what they called Christians, hated humanity. The church today tells humanity how to get better, how to be a good citizen, who to vote for, how to raise nice children. There's nothing. You understand that it's like we're the opposite. Now, if you happen to be in Pakistan when a church was bombed, killing 15 people this weekend, or in Syria where ISIS has got 200 or 300 Christians, they're probably going to behead. Then you would understand. Is that because those governments were evil? Well, maybe. But it doesn't matter which government it is. It's, from God's standpoint, it's a joke. The free enterprise system, or capitalism, or communism, or any other ism is just a joke. Because it's an attempt to better human race. Does that ring with anybody? So what do you cry?
It can't be fixed.
You cry, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of the flesh is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. There's millions of people that call themselves Christians, but when they, that's no one in the first century called himself a Christian, except the non-Christians who are using that as a law against them. But we got 50 different shades of Christian. We've got Baptist Christians, and Methodists, and Episcopal, and Catholic, and Scientology even probably, who knows. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And we've got a bunch of grains of wheat running around the world with labels on them. All kinds of opinions about what the world is. The scripture said the world is crap. If you believe, you'll speak. If you don't believe, you won't speak. I remember the first time I met with my mother after I became a believer. This was shortly, not too many months later, but I told her that all her ideas and opinions were crap. She she was going to hit me, I think. And then she finally, and then we talked all the time. And she understood. She became a believer. My sister thought I was crazy. Now she understands. She's become a believer. That's what I've told every person that walked, that came here. Some stayed, most didn't.
Yeah.
No, they left because you were bad. Well, that may be too, but that's not why they left. When persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by they are offended. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. It's probably, in a better text, it probably said, and Oli is a bastard, but probably not. Okay, we're studying. Let's continue. Go to Romans 16. Until I spent most of the time of this Bible in Romans, because every page of Romans 16. Yeah. Romans 16. No! I can't read my own writing. Romans 6.
That's a long way away.
Shut up, Pete. Start in verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, remember, sin isn't what you do. Sin is who you are. Trespass is what you do. Likewise, you also, in verse 11 again, likewise, you also yourselves reckon, I can't even see yours. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Reckon that. Reckon unto sin, unto me, unto my mind. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now, instrument of unrighteousness here doesn't mean, oh, let's go, don't go out and drink and drug and whoremonger and all that. That's of course, but it's also thinking about what you're going to do. Anything but abandonment of self is yielding yourself or your bodies unto sin. Does anybody believe that or really believe it? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though, as those that are alive from the dead. And your, I gotta get a new Bible. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that it to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So what, whoever you're yielding to, you're a servant of. You're either a servant of God in Christ Jesus or you're a servant of the evil one in yourself. There's no in between. Tell that. See how your response is. Whether or not you're hated. Your number is 666. The instead of Christ. Tell that. 666 is written in your forehead and on your hand. All right. 1 Corinthians.
I guess if you're a believer, you'll probably be loved by most of the world. If you're a devout disciple, it definitely sounds like you would be hated.
Well, it's no different. It doesn't say that here. It says you'll be hated of all men. Whether you're, there's no difference between a believer or a convert and a disciple. They're all the same. We're all disciples. Everybody that names the name of Christ is a disciple, whether they know it or not. You can't make a different rule for what the Bible calls disciples than you do for believers.
And there are people who believe they are believers who really aren't.
Are. They're children at best. They're carnal. First Corinthians 7. All right, verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Or even that doesn't mean necessarily here. It means a servant. Well, anyway, let me read it. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called into the Lord, being a servant, as the Lord's free man, likewise he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. Amen?
Yeah.
One more, then we'll quit. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. six verses. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You understand what that means? You commend yourself to every man's conscience? You have nothing hidden. You're not careful of your ways. You are open, totally open. You're not hidden.
All right, anyway. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves your servants, bondslaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, that's a good place to stop. The servant thing is a big deal. We'll see tomorrow how every one of the apostles put their, that the fact that they were a servant before they put they were a brother of Christ, or before they put they were an apostle. The servant was the first and primary identification.
Yeah.